And we're going to welcome a wonderful servant of our Heavenly Father and a sister of ours, Dr. Josie Owens.
Good morning, everyone.
Good
morning. You all are looking good. Thank you. I feel good this morning. As a matter of fact, you look a whole lot younger than the last time I saw you. Do you know when the last time I was with you guys? It was 6 years ago. It was my last Sunday here. We spent a lot of time together in 2012. So the last time I preached here was September 23rd, 2012. And I preached a message from the book of Jude, and it was on remember. It's a good thing to do is to be able to remember what God talks to us about. Amen? But you look good. I want you to turn to the person on your left or right and say, good morning. It's good to see you. And turn to the next person on the other side and say, you're looking good. You're looking good. You're looking good. You know, God has allowed us to be here this morning, so we're going to have a good time, right? And I have to say, you know, I'm in different churches. You know, Ken uses me to do different things, and God has blessed our ministry and what have you. It is always good to come and listen to some good praise and worship. Let's give the group a hand. They did a fantastic job. I never take that for granted. You know, sometimes we do that because you're so used to it. But, you know, I go a lot of places, you know, they're doing a lot of different things, and praise God for that. But you've got live band, you got everything right here. So you need to let the brothers and sisters know that you really, really, truly appreciate them. Amen? I also see that you continue to have, you know, one of my measurements is about a bulletin. I see you still have a full bulletin, and I praise God for that. You're doing a whole lot of ministries, and so that's really fantastic. I'm giving you enough time so you can get to the scripture. My scripture is in Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 6 to 8, and I'm going to be using the New Living for a few moments this morning. But I'm going to be kind of being all over the place. But I hope you've been well, and I also hope that you have a pen and paper. I mean, you have this is nice. I'm glad to see this. I hope you got to take a pen out, a pen or pencil, because I'm going to give you some. It's a little bit of data this morning as we. And I want you to kind of. I'm a visual learner, and let me say right now I'm in the process. I teach a lot for ENC, and I'm learning how. My husband and I am really happy that he's with me this morning. I'm glad that Tom is with me. We're taking a course online, how to teach online. Any of you have ever done that before? Let me tell you, it's taken a lot out of us. So, but I really love being here and being face to face as opposed to being in the computer. But let's get to Colossians. My title of my message this morning, and it's so good to see friends. It's so good to see friends. We give God praise. Let us stand for a minute and let us open in prayer. I'm going to have you up and down. You remember? I think you all remember how I am. Up and down, up and down. Okay. Father God, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you came and you set us free. We thank you for the night that you gave us, the rest that you gave us. We thank you for the food that you provided on our tables. We thank you for the clothes that you've given us. We thank you for the word that you put into our hearts and minds and our souls. We thank you that we have Bibles that are just right at our disposal. And Father, right now we pray that you will collectively bring our minds together that we may hear and do your word, and all of God's saints say, amen. Amen. Please be seated. And if I remember correctly, they told me I had an hour and a half because you all have Sunday school a little late. Just joking. The title of my message this morning is, what is the title of my message? Going the Distance with Jesus. And what's the second part? We are the 67th book. Going the Distance with Jesus, we are the 67th book. Can you tell me, how many books are there in the Bible? 66. Amen. Amen. You know, some folks don't answer. They don't know how to answer that question. That's right. There are 66 books. And what God is having me to talk about, and where I'm kind of with my ministry, is that we are to be the 67th book of the Bible. And I want to tell you why I believe that this morning. But first, I want us to take a look at the scripture that he gave to me. And I want to tell you, I always believe that when a person preaches or brings the bread of life, you need to know where they are spiritually. You remember me talking about that before? I want to let you know this morning that I love the Lord, my God, with all of my heart, my mind, my soul, and my being. I've already fed this morning from him. I've already met this morning with him. And I want to thank him for the word that he gave me to bring here this morning. I would be afraid and fear and trepidation if he was not with me. So I give him praise this morning. Amen? Amen. So the word that he has, we are to be going the distance with Jesus. No matter where you are, we're still on a journey. And he says in his word in Colossians 2, and kind of hear it my way in the New Living. And he says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your life be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong, and the truth you were taught. You will overflow with thanksgiving, thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. My sermons these days are like a bowl of salad. I want you to kind of picture a bowl of salad. And in that salad, there's what? Lettuce? What else? Tomatoes? Carrots? What else? Cucumbers? What else do you like? Okay. Here's the deal. That's what my sermons are like, salads. So whatever you find really good at it, you take that and you use it today to nourish you. Okay? There's a little bit of everything for everybody. Now, we live in a society that is in crisis today. People are in crisis. I saw a video, you know, the other day. There was a woman. She passed out. She passed out on the street. I don't know if you've ever had the unfortunate to have that done, to be passing out. But she passed out, and nobody helped her. As a matter of fact, they showed this. They actually showed this. Someone even took a video of her. And just took a video like a selfie with her. Another person came along and robbed her while she was passed out. We live in crisis. We have our young folks. There are many young people that are leaving the church. We have older folks that are leaving the church because they don't like the music or the sounds. There are people that are leaving the church because they feel as though we are too political. They're leaving the church for whatever reason. And we're not embracing one another the way we talk to each other. We also live, I study a lot the Pew Foundation and the different surveys that are out. We're living in a society where we're losing touch with our moral compass. One of the latest polls out now believe, right now, catch this, that most Americans now say that it is not necessary to believe in God to be moral and to have high values. This is the first time that the people have felt that you do not need to have God to believe, to have morals. When it comes to religion and morality, most Americans, 56% now, believe that we don't need, that we really don't need him. We live in a society of hurting people. You know, and I know, we are in a drug crisis. The opioid crisis is taking, to catch these statistics, over 100 people a day are dying from opioid addiction or drug overdose. Suicide rates are up. Teens are depressed. We're getting tons and tons of migraine headaches because of our iPhone usage. There's a lack of self-esteem in our young people. People are saying they have friends, and they say, I have over 400 friends, and those friends are on Facebook. Those aren't friends. They're not touching and reaching and sitting and chatting and sharing. We live in a society where, I look and I see where marijuana is legal in my state. I don't know how it is up here, but marijuana has become legal in Massachusetts. And maybe in about a year, they're going to be able to buy and go into the store and buy all different kind of flavors and roots and grains. We live in the one that really, really totally upsets me is we live now in a society where people are not reading. They're not reading. They're not reading. And I just want you to kind of catch this, is that the students that graduate from college, 2017 students that graduate from college, that 42% of them will not pick up another book to read after they graduate. Catch that. But what's even more important to me is that we're not reading the Word. People believe that Bible has value, that it helps us in our spiritual health, but they don't read it. 57% of people might read the Bible 4 times a year, okay? 26% of people, only 20%, 26% Americans say they read their Bible regularly. And what we mean by that is that they read it 4 or more times a week. Only 26%. There was a study that was done that it says about 1 in 5 people, churchgoers that regularly go, say they have never read the Bible. Think about that. They're in church, but they've never read the Bible. We're not reading. And the story, since we're not reading the scriptures, our young folks are not understanding or knowing common stories, where the nativity, where it happens at. They don't know that Jonah was swallowed in the whale. They don't know what's happening in all of these stories. So when I say that we have to become the 67 book of the scriptures, we have to because people are not reading the scriptures. My sisters and brothers, we need to not be silent as we pass through this life as believers in Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to engage with other people who may not be like us, don't look like us, or even think like us. We must leave a footprint, as did our brothers and sisters did before us. What drew me to our church was the fact that people would go and they would speak and they would talk to other people. They would go into the bar rooms. They would go to the different places. They would go because they had a fire deep down in their souls. And they had that fire because the anointing of the Holy Spirit was on the Word of God when they read it and they saw it and they became a part of it. Amen? And so we have got to, we cannot be secret about our faith or our faith journey, because people need us now more than they ever did before. Because we need to let them know about how Jesus brought us out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Amen? There's a story, and you probably heard it. There was one man talking to another man. He says, "What is your occupation?" To which he replied, "I'm a Christian." "No, no, no," the man, "you don't understand," continued the question. He says, "I mean, what is your line of work?" And he replied, "I'm a Christian." "No, no, no, I want to find out what you do for a living." So the man replied, he says, "Well, I sell insurance to pay the bills, but my full-time vocation, 24 days a week, is being a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ." Amen. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? We're to be uptaking 24/7 and claiming and telling people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't have to. We must embrace people. We must embrace them because it is through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that deposit that is inside of us, that people will see and they want. We don't have to affirm what they do, but we need to embrace people with love. It says in the 60, to be a 67th book, the living word of God, we must be changed both internally and externally within our inner beings. We must live and love the way Jesus loved us. You remember when you first came to Christ? You remember when you committed your heart to Jesus? Do you remember that you were not a finished product? And do you know right today we are not finished products? We are not graduated. We have much work to do. I don't care if you are 150 years old. God has a job for us to do. Amen? Do you remember, some of you may even known him, Dr. Earl Lee. Dr. Earl Lee, he was a missionary. He was an evangelist. He was a minister. He was a great teacher. And what was his premise? His premise, he had a wonderful book, and I've got several copies of that. It was The Cycle of what? Thank you, Fred. The Cycle of Victorious Living. And in that, within that cycle, and I look at it, there were four principles, four major principles. And it was what? To commit ourselves to him. To trust totally in our Heavenly Father. Do you trust him this morning? The third is, we are to delight. We are to delight ourselves in him. You know, I see so many sad-looking Christians. They're sad, sad, sad. I'm going to tell you a story in a minute about someone I met. So, you're not sad-looking. Aren't all Christians sad-looking? We do have joy. We are to delight. And then, what was the fourth one?
Rest.
We are to rest in him. That means that we are to take our hands off everything and trust him to be able to do all things. Amen? Are you resting in him this morning? So, we are to live our life. We are to trust in our Lord and Savior. We are to be witnesses in this dark world. And the minute that you declare that you are a believer of Jesus Christ, I want you to know people are watching you. They're watching you in the stores. They're watching you wherever you are. If you are telling folks that you are believers in Jesus Christ. Because, you know, the battle is on. The battle is on. If you think that we're not in a battle, we are in a battle. Particularly when people are not reading, they don't know, they don't see. They don't have real relationships. So what are we to do about all the things that are taking place in the world? We can do nothing. We can say everything's fine. We can just go and let everything go the way it is. Or we can allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and navigate us through all of these minds that are going around. Going the distance with Jesus means that we are to continue to seek the truth and to seek the word of God, and that we're not to be dependent on other sources other than him being the main source. Amen? We are to be open. Here, catch this now. We are to be open to all people. Are we friendly to all people? There was a study that was done by the White House from a few years ago. And it found out that 90%, 96% of unhappy customers never complain about rude or unfriendly treatment. So just think, if you take that, 96% of the people that may come to this church will never, if they feel as though that they will not complain about you didn't treat them well. But of that 6%, 90% of those unhappy people will not return to the place where the unfriendliness manifested itself from. If we're not warm and open to people when they come in, they're not going to come back. And they're going to tell other people, hey, that church wasn't that friendly. Further, each of those unhappy customers or people will tell 9 other people about the lack of friendliness and courteousness. And about 13% of that will tell more than 20 people about how they were treated. Now, you may say, we're the friendliest church up here. We are the best church. Now, I got a question for you. Does that mean that you're friendly to each other? Are we friendly to the people we know? Are we friendly to the people that we like? Are we friendly to the people who look like us? Now, if we're just friendly that way, then that doesn't mean that we're a church. It means that we're a club. Going the distance with Jesus means that we must be open to everyone, and we must open the doors of the church to everyone. I won't tell you where, but there was a church on the district. You know, I've been in all the churches that they thought they were friendly. But, you know, I had to go. When I went into the church, I went and looked. There was nobody to greet. I'm looking everywhere. I'm searching. I'm saying, did I come? Is this Sunday? Is it the right day? They were all in the back, in the corner. Nobody was there. And I had to, they knew who I was. They knew I was coming to preach. But there was nobody there to greet. And it was in their own little club. I won't tell you that the church is no longer there, but you can kind of understand why, right? We need to be welcoming to all people. And welcoming is just acceptance, not affirmation. It's that we need to wrap our arms around, because, you know, there's so many lost people. Think about before you had Christ and how lost, that lost feeling. We're to have compassion on people. Then people will see that light. Going the distance means that we must grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And you know what those are in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because all of that's there, because it's all amplified when you go over into Ephesians chapter 1, where it says, you are also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. And there's a deposit. It talks about that deposit, guaranteeing is that God put a seal on each and every one of us. If you woke up this morning and you're feeling a little out of it, you need to be remembered that you who have Christ in your soul, that he has put his seal of approval on you. And that stamp is there and no one can take it off. Amen? He has put that seal on you. And it talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, remember, God is the one who made you strong. And we are his chosen people. And he has put that mark on us to show us that we are his. And he put his spirit into our hearts to be a guarantee for all that he has promised. And people see that light in you, and they will be drawn to that light. So what are we to do? What are we to do? We are to show the living hope. We who are the 67th book. We are to show and live the promises of God. We are to be the light that Jesus talks about. Now, how many of you all go to the gym in here? Be truthful. This is Sunday morning. Raise your hand. Okay. All right. Come on now. They went up and down. Yeah. I mean, put them up. Put them up. Okay. You've been. Okay. We meet people. You see people in the gym, right? Right. You see people in the gym. I go and I'm learning Zumba. I'm learning Zumba, and I. Here again, we must live the scriptures. And my Zumba instructor came up to me. And she said, you're so lively. You have so much enthusiasm. What do you do? Here again, what do you do? Remember? And I said, I'm a pastor. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher. She says, ooh, you don't look so sad. She's from Russia. She's a United States citizen. She's been here now about 10 years. And she said, I'd like to know how you merge everything together. Isn't that a good opening? So we met for tea. I met her at Starbucks. And she wanted to know, she said, I've tried to open the Bible a half a dozen times. I don't understand it. How many books are there? I said, ooh, this is good. I said, there's 66. And so she said, well, I just don't understand it. Is it real to you? And she asked me, we talked for over an hour. And she wanted to know what was that something, something. And I pray that she's on a journey that we will start a whole number of conversations. But it was because she saw the light. And we have a light and we must share that light with each other. We must be the 67th book. And so you say, okay, I'd like to be able to do that. How do I do that, Josie? How do I? You are a book right now. Here's the catch to statistic. Every day, we talk so many words a day. Some of us talk more than others, but I'm just doing the average. On the average, there was a study done by the University of Arizona that on the average, we speak about 16,000 words a day, okay? And if you want to equate that into papers and things like that, it's about 500 words a page. And so every day you're writing, and it fits in the 32 pages. So every day you're on a journey of writing a book. So some of us, I know I do more than 16,000 words. You just ask my husband, but he won't do it. He's a lawyer, so he won't say, yeah, she does that. But I know that I do more than 16,000. So every day we're in the middle of a chapter of our books. What is God calling you to do this morning? And so it says, as it says in Psalms 85:8. I will listen to what God the Lord says. And so if we want to be, because we're in the middle of a battle, our battle is not against flesh and blood, amen? We're battling against the principalities of this world. And so, but we need to be ready with the full armor of God on. And so, my sisters and brothers, I don't know where you are in your spiritual life because it's been a little bit over 6 years since I've seen you. A little bit over 6 years. So where are you? In order for us to be a 67th book, we need to establish a regular time and place to meet with God. This young lady, her name is Anya, by the way, if you could pray for her. It's A-N-Y-A is her name. And so she was like shocked to know that I read the Bible every day. She was shocked to know that I wouldn't start my day without meeting with my Maker. She says, you read it every day? It seems so dry. And I said, every day I'm in my Word. And every day it may not seem as though it's super, super, but I'm in my Word every day. The second thing that we need to do is that we need to, in having that open word, we need to have an open Bible because God speaks through His Word. Amen? And we need to develop, and we need a listening heart. We have so many distractions. We have our iPhones, we have our computers. We need to get in a place that we can actually hear our Lord speak to us. Amen? He will tell us what He wants us to do. He will take us where He wants us to go. And He also, my sisters and brothers, I need to call it as we see it. He wants us to acknowledge Him because it says it in His Word in Luke 12. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. Amen. You remember that scripture? But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And he talks, and it also says, praise be. This is in 1 Kings. I love this in my devotions this week. Praise be to God who has given rest to his people. Not one word of his promises have failed. May the Lord your God be with us because he has never, ever forsaken us. Amen? God is calling us to come out of whatever our circumstances are, whatever they are. Satan wants us to just stay in the same little place that we're at. He wants us to deal with the same issues. He wants us not to talk about our Heavenly Father. We need to start our days off in praise of our Lord and Savior. Amen? We need to let go of some of the things that we may have encumbered us. Can you please stand? As I say, the last time I seen you, some of you have seen you since, but as a church body, this being a church body, was September 26, 2012. I pray that things have grown since that time. I pray that you've not allowed things to get on you. I pray that you're growing in your faith and that God is with you. But this morning, I also know that I have to be obedient to listening to what the Lord tells me to do. That when I meet my Maker, whenever that may be, maybe later on today or 100 years from now, I have to be obedient to what he has said. Have you done what I said you to do and said what I told you to say? And I want to be obedient to that. This morning, if there's someone here this morning that's gotten a little lax a days ago, or even have become having a laissez-faire attitude about their devotional time, if there's one thing that I want to be known for, is I want them people to say that she was in her word. I want them to say that she loved the word, that she had a passion for the word. And I want that to be said about all people. This morning, how are you in your devotions? How are you? That's like our geritol, if you remember what geritol is. I don't know. But this morning, if there's someone here that would like for us to pray with them, I would love an opportunity to. I don't know if you're discouraged this morning. I don't know if you need just a special touch. But that's what the body of Christ is all about. There's no shame. There's no shame. Satan wants us to say, oh, just stay right where you are. Don't move, don't move, don't move. They're going to think that you're this, you're that. It ain't about that. It's about being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And if there's some that would like to have a prayer time this morning, I know you have a million things to do, but the right thing right now is for us to spend a little time with him. Does anyone want to be brave enough to come to the altar? And that we will spend some time. I will dismiss the rest of the church because I know you do have other things. But at this time, I'm a person that loves the altar. The altar is now open if someone would like to come. I'm going to pray. We will not tarry long. But if someone would like to come and have a word of prayer, I would love that opportunity. It's been a pleasure to be with you this morning. I've loved being here. Pastor Ken may send me back again. I look forward to it. My car kind of knew how to get up here. So we give God praise. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord. We want to be a 67th book. We want to go the distance. And Lord, this morning, if there's anyone here that needs to spend some time with you, can you make it plain to them? Lord, will you give them to be able to step outside of the pew, of the seat, and come forward. Lord, you know the hearts of all people. We thank you for all things. We thank you for all directions. We thank you for all love. We thank you for the songs that have been sung. We thank you for your Son who died on the cross for our soul. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who sustains us right here and right now. Lord, you know each and every one of the folks that are here. You know their needs this morning. You know folks that need jobs. You know folks that have medical concerns. You know, Lord, that have emotional concerns. You know the needs of our children. You know the needs of our grandchildren. You know the needs of our hearts. And so, Father, right now we pray that you will be with them. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning, you know that needs a touch, your will be done. We thank you. We love you. We worship you. We adore you. And the church says, amen. Amen. Thank you, and have a great day in his name. Amen.